This episode is brought to you by the awesome folks who support me on Patreon. A big shout out to my multi-tier supporters, Taryn C, St. Peaches, Earl B, and Christina N. Moving on to the Tao tier, I want to express my gratitude to Bonkers and Carlu C. And last but not least, a massive thank you goes out to the incredible supporters of the Anito tier. Viren A, Jordan, Roman J, Philip, Mona, and Luna, Hannah, Diwatahan, and Rizzo. To all my wonderful supporters, thank you from the bottom of my heart for making this podcast happen. And if you, my dear listeners, if you want to help support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod and choose the tier that fits your interest. Your support means the world to me and I can't wait to have you on board. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi! Another week and another episode. I hope you're doing alright and thank you for making Tabi Tabi Podcast a part of your week. Now, I have an announcement to make. I'm planning on posting a Halloween special to celebrate the anniversary of the podcast, and I'd love for it to feature your personal experiences with the paranormal or the creatures that we have here in the Philippines, such as the Aswang, the Duendes, and more. So if you're interested in sharing your own spooky encounters, please feel free to send them to us via email at officialtabitabipod@gmail.com or through our Facebook page or Instagram. I want the Halloween special to include your experiences because you are the reason why I keep creating these episodes, and I couldn't have come this far without your help and support. So again, if you want to share your own spooky encounters, please feel free to send them to us via email at officialtabitabipod@gmail.com or through our Facebook page or Instagram. With that said, why don't we get on with today's episode? So, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. In the rich history of Philippine folklore, there exists a peculiar and somewhat spooky creature known as the Mumu. Often likened to the Western boogeyman, the Mumu is a creature that has lurked in the corners of Filipino children's imaginations for generations. As shared by Belal Wang on the website folklore.usc.edu, an informant vividly recalls how their mother used to invoke fear by recounting tales of the Mumu. According to their account, the Mumu was portrayed as a menacing creature, ready to seize any misbehaving child in the dead of night. It was described as a small monster, resembling a feline in some aspect, with an uncanny ability to discern when children were up to no good. The Mumu, they were told, kept a watchful eye on kids who defied their parents' instructions by staying awake or engaging in activities that they shouldn't. And as the story goes, if a child dared to engage in such bad deeds, the Mumu would materialize at their doorstep come bedtime with the sinister intention of taking them away. Now, this perspective or this version of the Mumu is quite different from the one I grew up with. I'm from Bicol, specifically in Tabaco, because I'm now living in Tabaco. The Mumu, as recounted by my grandparents and numerous elders in our community, or at least the ones that I've talked to, the Mumu is usually regarded as a ghostly entity. So it's not some creature, it's a ghost for us. At least what I've been told. And although it remains somewhat uncertain whether they are restless spirits or simply wandering souls, they are undeniably ghosts according to our local beliefs. But according to the Aswang Project, the concept of the Mumu in Philippine folklore takes on diverse forms depending on the region, and I just learned about that when I started researching about this creature. In the Aswang Project's article titled Mumu, Judgment, Fear, and the Philippine Boogeyman by Jordan Clark, they said that in its most basic essence, the Mumu is a malevolent spirit that hides in the shadows, poised to snatch children away from their families. However, the definition of Mumu varies significantly from one region of the Philippines to another. As one ventures northward on Luzon, the belief evolves into a spirit that either preys on children or seeks to claim their souls. In Pampanga, it becomes the horrifying Pugut Mamu, a headless entity with the serrated neck that feasts on children. If we go to the southward, into regions like Bicol and the eastern Visayas, the term Mumu takes on a broader meaning, encompassing various mythical beings and encanto. Similar beliefs prevail in Negros and Mindanao. In Iloilo, the Mumu is likened to the Tamawo. Tamawo are these exquisite yet small beings that abduct infants from people's yards. They entice children with offerings of black rice and yellow root, and if a child accepts these offerings, they vanish forever. These modern interpretations of the Mumu may trace their origins to much older animist beliefs in spirits. You see, in pre-colonial times, the disappearance or death of a child was often attributed to these spirits. A deep-seated fear of not only malevolent spirits but also of the deceased and their restless souls was a distinctive characteristic of Philippine animism. In some areas, even the envious spirits of the departed were feared, as they were believed to seek harm to the living in mysterious yet tangible ways. Many illnesses, particularly those causing emaciation and debility, were attributed to their influence. Now, in the National Capital Region, however, particularly Metro Manila, the Mumu is commonly perceived as a ghost or spirit with unresolved matters, often lacking the proper last rites or unable to accept its own demise. And that is a version of the Mumu that we'll focus on today. Not the creature, the small creature that wants to harm children, but the ghostly one, because that's what I'm leaning towards. That's what I knew, and there is quite a few information about the other version which I need more time to, you know, research on. Speaking of ghosts or Mumu, one vivid example that comes to mind is the Caperosa, commonly known as the White Lady. The Caperosa, with her spectral presence, clad in flowing white attire, serves as an excellent representation of a ghost or Mumu. Just like the Mumu we are discussing today, the Caperosa is often associated with unresolved matters. But first, let's clarify what ghosts are. According to Britannica.com, a ghost is the soul or specter of a departed person, often believed to reside in the netherworld with the capacity to return in some form to the realm of the living. Descriptions and depictions provided by believers suggest that a ghost may manifest as a living entity, a hazy semblance of the deceased, or at other times, in mysterious forms. The belief in ghosts is rooted in the ancient concept that a human spirit can exist independently of the physical body and may endure after the body's demise. In many cultures, funeral rites are perceived as a means to prevent the ghost from haunting the living. Places that are considered haunted are believed to be linked to the lingering spirit's intense emotions from the past, whether it be remorse, fear, or the trauma of a violent death. Individuals who feel haunted are often thought to be connected or responsible for the ghost's distressing experiences. Traditional signs of hauntings encompass ghostly apparitions, objects moving mysteriously, or the sudden appearance of unusual lights. Auditory phenomena include disembodied laughter, screams, footsteps, ringing bells, and the spontaneous production of sounds from musical instruments. In various cultural and religious beliefs, there are different types of ghosts or spirits, each with its own characteristics and purposes. And here are some types of ghosts found in folklore and mythology. First, we have residual ghosts. These are often considered recordings of the past events or emotions imprinted on a location or object. They are like playback loops repeating the same actions or scenes over and over again. Residual ghosts are not interactive and are unaware of the living. The second one, we have the intelligent ghosts. These ghosts are believed to retain their consciousness and individuality after death. They may have unfinished business, unresolved emotions, or a message to convey to the living. Intelligent ghosts can interact with the living and may be benevolent or malevolent. Number 3, we have poltergeists. Poltergeists are known for their ability to cause physical disturbances, such as moving objects, making loud noises, or even harming people. Fun fact, the word poltergeist comes from German, meaning noisy spirit. Number 4, we have the apparitions. Apparitions are visible manifestations of ghosts or spirits. They can appear as full-bodied or partial apparitions and are often reported to be translucent or transparent. Number 5, we have shadow people. Shadow people are dark, shadowy figures that are often seen out of the corner of one's eye. They are usually described as malevolent entities and are associated with feelings of fear and dread. And lastly, we have the doppelgangers. Doppelgangers are exact duplicates or lookalikes of living people. Seeing one's doppelganger is often considered an omen of impending death or bad luck. As for how a person becomes a ghost, obviously one has to die. But what I mean here is, as for how these ghosts still appear in the world of the living, it varies across cultures and religion. Some common explanations include that they have unfinished business. The soul of a person may linger on earth if they have unresolved issues or unfinished tasks that keep them from moving on the afterlife. They could also have these traumatic or sudden death. In some beliefs, individuals who die suddenly or experience a traumatic death may become ghosts because their souls are caught off guard and cannot move on. They could also be attached to a certain place or a certain object. It says that sometimes a person's soul may become attached to a specific location or object, keeping them bound to the earthly realm. And lastly, they could just have some strong emotions like anger or grief or resentment that can tie a soul to the physical world, preventing it from crossing over. Now, where does the Caperosa fit into this category of ghostly entities? The Caperosa, commonly known as the White Lady in the Philippines, represents a specific type of ghost that is often associated with a female spirit dressed in white. Similar to intelligent ghosts, Caperosa is believed to retain her consciousness and individuality after death. She might have unresolved business or emotions that keep her tied to the earthly realm. Typically, the Caperosa or the White Lady is described as a female spectral figure draped in a long white dress, gown, or robe with long black hair concealing her face. Some accounts even depict her without a head, with rotting flesh or a face obscured by blood, reminiscent of Sadako from the movie The Ring. Now, it's crucial to clarify that the term Caperosa or White Lady doesn't identify a specific deceased individual. Instead, it's a catch-all term for female ghosts fitting this description. The Caperosa is not limited to any particular region in the Philippines. She's called the White Lady because of her white attire, coupled with her female form, and it's simple as that, the White Lady. Local lore suggests that she haunts the place where she had a tragic or untimely death, often involving betrayal, murder, or unresolved matters. So, when a female spirit lingers on Earth after death, she may be described as a white lady or capirosa, falling under the broad category of multo, which means ghost in Tagalog or mumo. One of the most famous examples of a capirosa or white lady ghost sighting is associated with Balete Drive in Quezon City. This street was named after a massive balete tree that stood at its center. Legend has it that during World War II, a young lady fell victim to a horrifying fate, being sexually assaulted and killed by Japanese soldiers, possibly near the balete tree. This tragedy has given rise to numerous eerie encounters on Balete Drive, like for instance, one tale tells of a young lady waiting for a taxi by the roadside. When a taxi arrives to pick her up, she enters and remains silent throughout the ride. When the driver asks where to drop her off, he suddenly realizes he's been alone the entire time. This haunting story suggests that perhaps the white lady repeats her actions from before her demise, caught in a never-ending loop as she tries to return home. There's also this chilling legend that while driving on Balete Drive, a random white lady might suddenly appear in front of you, causing accidents or disturbances. As mentioned earlier, these spirits may also choose to remain in the location where they met their tragic end. Consequently, a capirosa might make an appearance in a home you've purchased or rented, believed to be the previous owner who wishes to keep a connection to her property, unable to move on. So when we encounter a white lady or the capirosa, we are witnessing an apparition, a visible manifestation of a ghost or spirit. So while the term mumu might encompass a broader spectrum of ghostly entities in Philippine folklore, the capirosa with her iconic white clothing stands out as a well-known and distinctive representation of a ghost or mumu. And that concludes the 10th episode of the podcast about the spooky mumu. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. I know I sort of like went a little bit off track with regards to the mumu because I wasn't really talking about the mumu in itself, but more like the capirosa. But since, you know, like I said, the mumu in Bicol, at least in my belief, are just ghosts, I thought that capirosa would be a fitting creature or entity to be included here. So that's why I just focused a little bit on the capirosa. Still, I do hope you enjoyed it though. And if you do, if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Or you can always donate via GCash. The info will be posted in the description. Once again, thank you to my patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you for continuously supporting the podcast. Please stay safe. This has been Ethan. Thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!